So last weekend, as we gathered everyone, we kicked off that great season of Advent. We blessed our Advent wreath. We lit the first candle, and so the story of Advent began. And of course, Advent, remember, means coming. We ready ourselves for the great coming of our Savior in the Christmas story and also in his second coming. You know, we hear everyone in that first reading, or in the gospel of today, that first half of the gospel, the story of some of the power figures at the time of Jesus Christ. So I just took a little time and I decided to come up with a little more current edition of way that would sound. So here's the way it would sound in today's language. In the second year of the reign of President Donald Trump, when names like Nancy Pelosi and Mitch McConnell were prevalent in the U.S. House of Representatives and Senate, Mark Dayton was the governor of the state of Minnesota. Pope Francis was the Holy Father of the Universal Catholic Church. Bishop John Quinn, the Bishop of the Diocese of Winona-Rochester, and Father Peter Schuster, the pastor of Resurrection Catholic Church in Rochester, Minnesota, the Word of God, dot, dot, dot. What are they trying to do? If I were to take a board and put a big board up here, and I was put the date up there, the second year of the reign of President Trump, and put all of those names, you know what we could do? We could ground it in history. We'd have a pretty good understanding of when it happens. Same with the gospel. You could take all those names, everyone. I could have a big board up here, 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, and all of a sudden we put all of those names and we have a pretty good idea of where it is in history. So what I want to do a little bit today is just share with you some of these figures and really who they were and what we kind of know about them. The one person, I'll be honest with you, I couldn't find much on was the guy named Lysanias. All we know is from the gospel that he was the tetrarch of Abilene. I couldn't find any more about him. But the rest, of course, we can. But that's some detail on the remaining names. In the 15th year of his reign, we hear about Tiberius Caesar. Caesar, everyone, was the emperor of Rome. Caesar, we know, was ruthless. He was violent and domineering. Next, we hear of Pontius Pilate. Pilate was equally as violent and ruthless as Tiberius Caesar. Pilate was willing to crucify Jews by the thousands if they opposed him. It was Pilate who brought idols into the temple. And of course, Pilate in the end did what? Put Jesus to death. Remember what he did, everyone? They brought him a bowl of water and he said, I wash myself of this. I wish that was always so easy. It doesn't work that way. Okay, it was Pontius Pilate who condemned Jesus Christ to death. Herod and Philip were tetrarchs, in other words, governors of subsections of regions, and were sons of Herod the Great. They were hated by the Jews for betraying and also oppressing them. Annas, Caiaphas, they were the high priests. The temple which Annas and Caiaphas were to serve was the center of Jewish life, but these two battled politically to control the temple. So you see what we have here, everyone? You've got the whole hierarchy. You have the political hierarchy. You also have the religious hierarchy. They're all there. And yet, isn't it amazing? We hear all these names, and then all of a sudden, the Word of God, dot, 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 who does it come to? Not to any of these. Not to anybody in Jerusalem, not to anyone in the temple, not to anyone with political aspirations, not to anyone with religious aspirations, but the Word of God comes to a man named John the Baptist. Okay, of course we realize John, everyone, came to preach a baptism of repentance. So when he did that, everyone, what was he trying to do? I'm going to read this story to you today, everyone. Just to kind of give an idea what John was trying to do in his preaching. There's an old story that illustrates the kind of jolting impact John the Baptist was trying to make on people's thinking. Here's the story. Once there was a fabulously wealthy king who lived in a fabulously beautiful palace. But in spite of his wealth, the king had a simple heart and a deep, sincere desire to find God. He read books, he consulted wise men. He prayed in the gold-covered palace, but to no avail. One night, while lying in his soft satin bed, the king was pondering why he was having so much trouble finding God. Suddenly he heard a terrible racket on the roof of the palace. He went to the balcony and shouted, "Who's up there? What's going on?" A voice which he recognized to be that of a hermit who lived in a forest nearby shouted back, "I'm looking for my goat. She's lost and I'm trying to find her." Angered by such a ridiculous response, the king shouted back, "How can you be so foolish as to think you'll find your goat on the palace, on the roof of my palace?" The hermit shouted back, "And you, your highness, how can you be so foolish as to think that you'll find God while dressed in silk pajamas and lying on a bed of pure gold?" The story concludes by saying that those simple words of the old hermit jarred the king so severely that he rose from his bed and eventually he became a great saint. That's what John was trying to do. Jolt him. Jolt him. Jesus is coming. Apathy. That's the word we deal with today, everyone. Apathy. Lack of concern. I don't care about my spiritual life. Who cares about my sins? John the Baptist does. So what was he trying to do? Jolt him and say, "Hey, it's time for us to get ready. Jesus Christ is coming. He's coming. Be ready. Be ready." And how does he go about that, everyone? The phrase that I took out of the second section today is the idea of make straight. Let's talk about it from the standpoint of when I grew up and I was a farmer. I don't care who the farmer is, everyone. One thing we all like to do is we like to make straight. In other words, no matter the work you're doing, you want it to be straight. Because yes, people drive through the neighborhood and they see how straight that you plant, how straight you plow, how straight you do all of these different things. Now, we live in an era of GPS. I could put any one of you behind the wheel, everyone, and you could plant so straight it would look like a pro did it. Turn the corner, hit a button, get your hand off the steering wheel, and away it goes, straight. But when I was growing up, everyone, it wasn't that way. It was all about the man or the woman behind the wheel. Three things that I learned. Brothers and sisters, it's inevitable that whenever you're pulling something, what do you have to do? You got to look back. Why do you look back? Well, to make sure everything's working, to make sure something isn't broken or something isn't blocked. Now think about this. What's the tendency to do, everyone, if you're looking back and all of a sudden you look back on your right shoulder, over your right shoulder, everyone? What's the natural tendency to do with your hand on the steering wheel? It's gonna, see that? You know it works? Let's go the other way. Okay? Natural. It's just a natural reaction. Okay, it wants to turn right, wants to turn left. So you had to keep that in mind when you were looking back. Second thing I learned, everyone, some things were in your control. When I was a kid, everyone, I loved the music on the radio. So I'd be up there pushing the buttons, trying to find the right station. If I didn't like it, I'd push another station. Well, guess what happens when you take your eyes off? Guess what? Stood up there playing with the heater or the air conditioner, daydreaming, looking off and seeing that big buck standing over there and going, "Wow." Well, guess what's going to happen? Actually, it's going to affect how straight you are. Concentration's a key. Third thing I learned is this, everyone. For some people, there's no hope. My brother, everyone, was one of the worst planners I have ever seen. When he got done, everyone, you look at it and you go, how in the world, how could he be so bad? He was terrible. He knew it. And you know what he'd say? And this is what he'd say. He'd say this. He said, "I always have good yields because I planted where no one's ever planted before." But you know something, everyone? In the whole thing, no matter who we are, we have pride. We really do want to make straight, okay? We have a lot of twists and turns in our lives, spiritual lives. Sometimes there's apathy. And what happens? John says, people, the Lord is coming. Let's get straight. This coming Tuesday night, everyone, is our Advent Communal Reconciliation Service. Wonderful time to come and confess the twists and turns, times of apathy, we don't seem to care, and just say, "God, here it is," and let God forgive you. Experience His mercy, His forgiveness, His love, and His peace. So come and celebrate it that night. So God's blessings to you, everyone. Just remember, The words of John the Baptist. Let's continue to make straight and ready ourselves for the coming of Jesus Christ.